Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for watching today. I appreciate you watching the broadcast every Sunday, and I hope it's a blessing to you. Will you turn in your Bible with me today to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We are talking about prayer in our Bible studies, and we've been discussing the fact that prayer is dispensational. That is, that God Almighty will give you anything that He promised you in Romans through Philemon. All the promises of God in Genesis through Revelation are not to you, and you can try to claim those promises in prayer, but that doesn't mean that it'll happen. You cannot by prayer bring to pass something that God has already done. In other words, you by praying to God and distorting your face and fasting and mourning in sackcloth and ashes cannot bring to pass the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Jesus Christ has already died for your sins, whether you believe that or not. But that isn't all. You cannot, at some altar somewhere, begging for mercy, gain mercy when God Almighty already made mercy for you at Calvary. You cannot by prayer and faith bring to pass that which God Almighty already made come to pass for you. So what do? You claim that which God Almighty already promised you. There are thousands of people today that are being taught to beg God for something that they need to believe God for. They're begging God to give them something that He has already given them, and they're at some altar begging and pleading with God, and that's a reproach upon His Word. So we're talking about prayer. We discussed prayer. Is it warring? Well, we don't have to go to war with unseen characters out there, spirits and things. We don't go to war with them in order to get through to God. Jesus Christ got through to God. And we've already seen in the Scripture that we that are saved were crucified with Christ at Calvary. So then, we were identified. We'll say that this right here represents our life on this earth. Jesus Christ was crucified here. Then we were identified in His crucifixion. We were identified in His burial. We were identified in His resurrection. We are identified in Him. The Bible said that we're seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ. So we don't have to go to war in prayer to get through the evil forces to get to God. Why? Jesus Christ got through the evil forces in our behalf. We're not conquering the devil. We're not conquering spiritual enemies. We are claiming the victory that Jesus Christ provided for us by His death at Calvary. Death is the victory. There are many of you that stand up in church and you sing that and you don't believe it. So, you cannot by prayer and you cannot by your faith bring to pass that which God Almighty already provided. He already made it available unto you, and so what do? You claim it by faith. We're not warriors coming before the throne of God seeking His mercy and trying to find help from Him. The Bible said God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work in the Lord. He already promised you that. You don't have to beg for that. The Bible said, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So you don't have to beg for that. God Almighty already promised that. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 3, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So we believe God. We're believers. We're not warriors. We're not beggars. We're believers. We trust the Lord. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. We have an infirmity in the flesh. We know not what to pray for as we ought. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. He that searcheth our hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, and he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, died for us at Calvary. We're in him. He is in us. He's at the right hand of the Father. We're in him and represented by him at the Father. And so he prays unto God. He reads our heart, and he prays unto God the Father in our behalf, and he prays according to the will of God. He never prays out of the will of God. But we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we're not beggars. We're believers. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, notice in verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. So I believe in prayer. People get some kind of a crazy idea that I don't believe in praying. Of course I believe in praying, and I've already told you about praying unto God and God having provided the need. I remember a few years ago that we went to youth camp one year, and we were there for nearly 2 weeks. When I left home, we had bills piled up for television time and radio and all the things that we're involved in, and these bills amounted to over $6,000. And to some people that's nothing, but to me it was a tremendous amount. And so we went to youth camp, and I prayed to God about it, and I said, God, you know what it's all about, and I look unto thee. I believe that you're going to provide the need, and I commit the whole thing unto thee. Well, when we got back home after the youth camp, all the money had come in. The needs had been provided, and we paid all the bills. This has happened time and time and time again. I believe in prayer. I believe in praying without ceasing. I believe in being in an attitude of prayer all the time. I pray about minute items, the very simplest things. One time, while working at Brooker Field years ago, I had been working on an airplane. We were putting the tail section on this airplane, and the engine's already in there, and you pull the tail section up there and you fasten them together. And I was hooking some cables together and dropped a clevis pin. A clevis pin is a little pin about an inch long in this particular case, with a hole in the end for a cotter key. And I dropped this pin, and it went down into that engine compartment. I got down from there, and I pulled off the inspection plates down there and began to look for this pin. I could not find the pin. I searched and I searched, and some other people came over, and they looked in there with me, and we searched for that thing. We couldn't find it. The time came for the coffee break, and so we stopped, and I walked out underneath the wing of that airplane and sat down beside the wheel. The others were gone drinking Cokes and smoking their cigarettes and doing all the things they do at break. And I was sitting there praying. And I was saying something to the effect, Father, you know all things. You know exactly where that pen is. I pray that you would show it to me, that you'd reveal it to me, that I'd be able to see that. You see, that airplane could not go up with that pin lying loose in there, because it could cause the death of some individual. So I had to find it. And so I prayed that God would reveal it unto me. As I sat there praying and thinking about the scripture, the horn blew, signaling us to go back to work. I got up from sitting beside that wheel and turned toward the airplane. As I looked toward the fuselage of that airplane, I could see from where I was standing that clevis pin hanging between some hydraulic lines, and I walked to where it was, picked it up, and put it into the cables. God Almighty showed me the clevis pin. Pray without ceasing. Pray always. Pray everywhere. Pray about everything. The Bible said, be careful for nothing. That is, don't fret about it. Don't lose sleep about it. He didn't say be careless. Be careful for nothing. The word careful is illustrated in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus in the home of Martha and Mary. And Mary is sitting at his feet, listening to him. And he's teaching her. But Martha is in the kitchen or whatever, and she's preparing for him. I can just see her in there hot and angry and slinging the pots and pans around and fuming. And finally, she says to Jesus, in effect, that he tell Mary to give her a hand. And he said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but Mary hath chosen that good thing, and on and on and on. The word careful is the same there. Be careful for nothing. Don't fret and fume and sweat and toil and carry on because somebody else is not doing as much as you and you've got all the burden. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request to God, and the peace of God that passeth understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What I learned from all that, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. Don't let it keep you awake at night. Don't let it cause you to get ulcers inside. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound every good work in the Lord. If you don't have a job, then quit worrying about it. Go and make applications for your job, and God is able to give you grace that you'll get a job. Grace means favor. It means unmerited favor. God's able to give you favor with men. They may not like you, but God's able to give you favor with them. God's able to make all grace abound toward you. You don't need to go into somebody's office and lie about the things that he's got in there. Salespeople are taught today to go into an office and try to gain favor for themselves so they can make a sale. So what do? They go into an office and they see a picture on the wall, and they tell the man what a beautiful picture he's got, and they see the picture of his wife sitting on the desk there, and they say, is that your wife? And he said, yes, that's my wife. And they say, well, oh, that is such a beautiful lady. And he may be lying. He probably believes that she's got a face like 10 miles of dirt road, but he's going to say she's got a beautiful face. Why? He wants favor with that individual. He says, are these your children here? This picture is, oh, these children, are they yours? Yes, they're my children. Oh, what a lovely family you got. And he may not believe a word he's saying. He's trying to gain favor with that man. He's conning that individual. He's blowing smoke. Well, you don't need to do that. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound every good work in the Lord. You have a job, and you're out of a job, then trust the Lord. Go and fill out the resumes wherever. Go wherever you need to go, but trust the Lord to give you the job you need. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about anything. pray about everything. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything with prayer. So pray about everything. Pray about the smallest things. Pray about the largest things. Pray about everything. Communicate with God. Jesus Christ is your Savior if you've trusted Him. You're in Him. He's in you. Talk to Him. Talk with the Lord consistently. If somebody's riding in the car with you, you talk with them. Well, you're in Christ and Christ is in you. Well, talk with Him. Pray all the time and pray about everything. The smallest things, pray about them. When I was in Montgomery many years ago, I went to Montgomery, Alabama in 1958 and established the Montgomery Rescue Mission. It's now called Faith Rescue Mission, still operating there. And during the time we were there, we had no money. Our needs were provided, but we had no excess money. It took everything that we could get to run that rescue mission. And before one Christmas, one year, we had nothing. And so my children wanted toys like everybody else, like all other kids do. And we began to talk to them about praying for whatever it was they wanted. My oldest son wanted a bike. My youngest son wanted a little car like you pedal around. Kids pedal it and drive it around. And my daughter wanted a little chair and a doll. But we could not afford anything like that. And so we taught them to pray about that. And they not only prayed about it, they began to talk to the men in the rescue mission that worked with me there. These men that were saved in the rescue mission, many of them were permitted to work with us there. And so they began to talk to them about what they wanted, and they got them to praying for these things. And you know what? When Christmas time came, my oldest son got a bike. We had no idea where this bike was coming from. We knew nothing about that. But my oldest son got the bike. My youngest son got the little car with the pedals in it. And my daughter got the little rocking chair with the doll. Pray about everything. There's nothing too big or nothing too small to pray about. Pray about everything. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. Pray about everything. And be thankful for anything. You see, sometimes people pray and God answers their prayer and they don't like the answer. They pray and they say, "Not my will but thine be done, Lord," and the Lord's will is done, and then they don't like the answer. I believe in prayer, and I believe that God Almighty answers every prayer. I don't believe there are any such thing as unanswered prayers. I believe God Almighty answers, and He answers yes, or He answers no. But there is no such thing as an unanswered prayer. There might be some times when you pray that God Almighty will remove some form of a pain or some form of a burden, and God will not remove that. He will not remove that because that burden and that pain working in you is going to bring a reward for you at the judgment seat of Christ. The Thessalonians were very patient in tribulation. And being patient in tribulation, they showed themselves worthy of the kingdom of God. All things do work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So what do we find? Listen. You're not a warrior trying to get through to God. You don't have to go charging to get through the gates to get into where God is. You don't have to go to some altar somewhere and lay down this and lay down that and agonize and strain and carry on to get through to God. Jesus Christ already got through to God. And if you're saved by grace through faith, then you're in Christ. And Christ is in the throne room. He's at the right hand of the Father, and He's interceding for you according to the will of God. Believe Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct thy paths. Quit bringing reproach upon the finished work of God by pleading for mercy when mercy has already been provided. Look, please, in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. You don't need to beg for mercy. We're not beggars. We're sons of God. We're not tramps. We're children of the King. We're children of God, the Creator of heaven and earth. And my God shall provide all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work in the Lord. If you're a believer, if you trust Christ your Lord and Savior, then you're in Him, He's in you, and you're a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, an heir of Almighty God, and God Almighty will provide for you. Trust Him. You don't need to be a beggar. In Titus chapter 3, verse 4, the Bible said, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost," on and on and on. Mercy is already ours. God had mercy on us and provided His Son at Calvary. And Jesus Christ died for our sins there and was buried and rose again. And we've had the blessed privilege of believing in Him as our Lord and Savior. We walk daily in the grace of God. Everybody listening to my voice is walking in the grace of God in some form. You see, you that don't even believe in Christ as your Savior, you that have never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you right now walk daily in God's grace in the respect that God is not judging you today. God is not judging the world today. He's put off the judgment. In A.D. 33, God Almighty judged His Son at that time. And He prolonged the judgment so that we live now in the grace of God. But one day, men are going to reject it the last time. The church, the body of Christ, is going out of this world, and God Almighty is going to judge this world in righteousness by that man, Jesus Christ. So you that aren't even saved, you have the blessed privilege of hearing a message that you don't deserve. You that are sinful, you that curse and swear, you that are the drunkards, you that can't live, you think, without sucking on a cigar or a cigarette all the time or chewing the tobacco. You that think you're great because you pour forth the filth and the garbage out of your mouths. You think it's smart and it's good and it's great if you cuss in front of people. You that carry the filthy messages around on your bumpers on your car, and you think you're doing something great because you've got some garbage there. You act like that you've got your brain out of a sewer somewhere. You, even you, walk in the grace of Almighty God. Even you have the privilege of believing in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You that are such a crumb bum, such a snake, such a low-down worm, such a crumb bum in the gutter and the filth of this world, even you can believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Why? Because God Almighty so loved the world, even you, that He gave His only begotten Son, that even you can believe in Him and be saved by His grace. We that are saved are not beggars. We're children of God. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're representing Christ, as it were, in a foreign country. And so we trust the Father. We trust His leadership. And we pray by the Spirit. We have an infirmity in our flesh, and we know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. A man of God years ago used an illustration about prayer that stuck with me. He told a story about an old man that wanted to play a violin. And so he bought the violin, and he would stand, and he saw the bow across those strings, and they'd just make a terrible sound, and he'd seesaw that violin, and disturbed people terribly bad. And so this man would buy sheet music from some symphony orchestra, and he'd put the sheet music out there, and then he would turn the radio on, and he would listen to this orchestra play that music, and he would saw back and forth of that fiddle, and it was terrible. But this man didn't give up. This man kept night after night after night. He would listen to the music on that radio, and he would saw of that bow, and he did it day in and day out, and he kept doing it, and he began to kind of get in tune, and he began to get a little bit better and a little bit better, until finally that man got in tune with the sound coming from that radio. He got to the point that he could finger those strings, and he could play the sweetest music you ever heard right along with that orchestra. He could read the sheet music, and he could play with them and make sweet music. The man that is saved by grace through faith has the Spirit of God within him. And the Spirit of God leads as we pray. And the point with us is to get in tune to the Spirit of God, to get in one accord with the Spirit of God, and pray by the Spirit of God, and pray by the leadership of the Spirit of God, knowing that we have a Savior at the right hand of the Father that is interceding for us, and we need to humble ourselves and be satisfied with what is ours and claim it in Christ Jesus. I thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.